And as always, thank you, praise team. And we are going to worship the Lord God Almighty through Jesus Christ, the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, which He has given all of us. Let's pray. Father, thank You again. And now as we come to open Your Word, Lord, we ask for Your protection. Lord, what do we ask for protection for? Well, first, for all the wicked schemes of the evil one, Lord, obviously, but also from the things that happen to us every day, for the things we see, from the things we experience that try to pull us apart from You. Lord God, protect us from these things and instill within us a sense of strength. Because, Lord, it's not just a sense, it's real strength that we can withstand all the things that the world, the flesh, and the devil throws at us. So, Father, now as we read what Your psalmist wrote about Your protection, Lord God, I pray that You will remove me from it and let Your Word speak for itself. Thank You, Lord, that You have given us the privilege and the honor of worshiping You this morning. And in Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. Well, you've probably heard this story before because Billy Graham wrote this in a book he had several decades ago, called Angels. How many of y'all have read that book? Several of you have. Good. Well, in one of the stories that he tells, there was an elderly lady who owned what they call in New York a little bodega, which is just a little corner store. It's got food and fruit and drinks and stuff like that in it. And she was in the inner city there in New York, and she was a Christian lady. Now, her husband had opened the shop several decades earlier, but she was now a widow. But she kept the store for herself for the income. Now, one day, a young man came into the bodega, and he threatened, unless she paid what they used to call protection money, they were going to come and they were going to tear up her store. And we all know that what kind of scam this is. The crooks come in, they say, you pay us X amount of dollars or else we're going to come in and tear up your store. So they were actually selling protection from themselves. We know how that works. Well, the lady did not have the money that they wanted. And she prayed and prayed. Well, the day came when that person that had initially come to her and several other big dudes came in. They wandered around the store, they looked around, and then they left. And the lady was perplexed. Well, come to find out, in about 2 weeks, the same young man came in and he apologized. He said, "Ma'am, we're sorry. We will not bother you anymore." And she said, "Son, why did you come and do nothing and now you're apologizing?" He said, "Well, to be honest, ma'am, we had intended to tear up your store, but those 8 or 9 big dudes that were behind the counter with you kind of made us a little nervous, so we left." Now, I've heard that variation of a story like that many, many times. Well, I read something similar in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 8 through 17. That's not our text today, but there's a story there. It says, the man of God, Elisha, he was surrounded by an army, the king of Aram's army. And his servant was nervous. He was scared. He didn't know what to do. And Elisha prayed, God opened his eyes. And when his eyes were opened, he saw the hills and the mountains surrounded with the fiery chariots and the fiery horsemen that God had sent to protect the man of God. And I believe that's a true story. You see, God protects His children when it is necessary. I would argue He protects them all the time for different things. But I understand sometimes that He does not protect them when He's trying to teach us a lesson because we have to face the consequences of our bad choices. Now that's accurate also. That's like a child that you love and you care about and they keep playing in the fire ant bed. No matter how many times you tell them, don't play in the fire ant bed, don't put your hand in there, until he gets bit a few times, he's going to keep doing it. How many of y'all used to stick sticks in a fire ant bed and watch them run up the stick? Okay, I can't be the only one who was that silly when they were young, okay? There you go, right in the back, there you go. But you see, we do things and sometimes we have to face the consequences, but I'm not talking about that specifically this morning. I want to talk about our God right now being our mighty fortress, our rock, our mighty tower. Yes, there will be times when we will be sheep counted as the slaughter in Romans 8:36. It's very specific about that. But God always will overcome evil and the villainy in the end. He will always have His righteous will overcome anything the world, the flesh, and the devil can throw at us. Now, we're coming to today's text. We see the trust we have for God in one of the Psalms, Psalms 91. We got 16 verses. I'm going to read through this morning, and then I'm going to take specific verses out of it, and we're going to talk about God, our protection. Psalm 91, starting at verse 1. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. We've heard that in the New Testament, right? The devil quoted that to Jesus during His temptation. Moving on to 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He has set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. Now this is God speaking here in this one. I will set him on high because he hath made known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Such beautiful words the psalmist writes there. And you know, and we see some things in there automatically. It gives us a sense of hope that God protects us. Now, there's some things in there people will take out of context and they will say, well, you see, the Bible's not true because it says He will protect you in all things and bad things happen to me. So obviously this is not true. Wrong. When people take it out of context for the meaning that it means, the real meaning, you can make it say anything you want. But that's not the Holy Spirit speaking. The Holy Spirit gives the truth of what these say. And this is a principle that we need to understand, that God is our protection. God is our Savior. God does protect us from things you may not even know. Do bad things happen to good people? Absolutely. Sometimes, as we mentioned earlier, because we make bad choices and the consequence God allows us to have, like getting bitten by the fire ants. But then other times, there are things that happen because of someone else's sinfulness. But you see, that's the evil and the wickedness that we find in sin, because even in our sin, innocent people suffer. And that's what God uses to show just how awful sin is sometimes. And then sometimes there are natural things. Things that happen like storms and earthquakes and fires and floods that happen. And you know, when you suffer a loss in those things, it's very easy to blame God. But brothers and sisters, if you live on the coast of Mississippi, you can't blame God for hurricanes, because they're going to come eventually. You live out in California, you cannot blame God for earthquakes and fires. They're just going to happen. Sometimes I believe they're sent. Sometimes I believe they're punishment, but not always. Sometimes it is a natural thing. So I believe that this psalm offers us hope in the season that we are about to go into, the season of revival. We need not fear the enemy, for God is our protector and our Savior. He redeems and justifies all those who come to Him in repentance and faith. Now let's look again at some of the statements that we see in this psalm. Let's go back to verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom In Him I will trust. We've seen the song that was penned by Martin Luther. A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark, never failing. Now, I've got some issues with Brother Luther, but I'm going to tell you, he nailed it on that hymn because God is our mighty fortress. How many times have we been in desperate need of strength and wisdom and hope, and God provides that when we pray, when we go to Him in faith, and we see His working out of not only our heavenly salvation, but of a situation we have. Now, it may not be what we expected, but when God does it, we can trust that it works out for the best. Well, Brother Charles, you don't understand. Something bad, my evil, I lost this, I lost that. And how can that be good if God does that? Brother and sister, the fact you're sitting there being able to tell me that shows me that God is faithful and true in His protection. You know, all these material things that we have, we're not promised to keep those forever. We're blessed if we receive them. Absolutely, we're blessed. But you know, they, as the old Kansas song went back in the 1970s, they're just dust in the wind. I'm not going to sing it for you so you don't have to worry. But brothers and sisters, I have come to the conclusion. Now, I know I haven't lived as long as some of you, but I've lived longer than some of you. And I'm going to tell you this. I have discovered in the almost 55 years that I've lived that nothing is promised for tomorrow. My very life is not promised for tomorrow. I had an uncle, my Uncle Bill, God bless him. He was standing shaving. He was my age. He was 54 when this happened. Now, he had had some medical problems. He was diabetic and a whole bunch of other problems. But he was standing there shaving and he threw a pulmonary embolus and dropped dead right there at the sink. No warning, no chest pain, nothing. He just passed. You see, we're not promised tomorrow. So what do? We go to the Lord, the one who gives us life, the one who gives us tomorrow, and we pray His will be done. We make our requests known. Lord, I'd like to grow up and see what You're going to do with me in my life when we're young or when we're a little bit older. Lord, I want to see my grandbabies. All kind of things like that. But you know what? To be content in the Lord means to be content with His will. And inside His will, He wants to protect us from the evils of this world. Why do you think He gave us the law? So that we would know what is bad for us. Why do you think He gave us Christ? Because the law was a teacher to point us toward the need for Christ. And it is through Christ that we overcome all the evil. Well, you've got preachers that say, God, all He wants to do is bless, and you will never go through a hardship. Well, all I've got to do is look at the Roman Colosseum to say this is not accurate. Does God want to bless us? Absolutely He does. He promises blessing, but it may not be the kind of blessing the world expects. You see, the world, at least the American version of it, wants you to have a big old house with 3-car garage, and you actually got 4 cars, but one of them's a Mini Cooper, so you got it shoved in there toward the back. You've got a pool in the back. You've got the best job. You've got the prettiest spouse or the most handsome spouse. You've got everything laid out before you, and then you can say, oh, thank you, God, for all of you. And if you have that, yes, thank God. He has blessed you with that. But you also need to be humble and realize that life is but a vapor, and not only your life, but your material possessions could be gone tomorrow. Don't believe me? I knew a guy one time, always paid his taxes, but he had a Social Security number, 1 digit off, from a person who didn't pay his taxes. And the IRS came a-calling. He lost his house, he lost his cars, he lost the boat that he had. And I mean, it was a nice one of them Skeeter cigarette-looking bass boats that go like 150 miles an hour on the water. One of those nice ones, you know. And he had earned it, and he had bought that for his family. There's nothing wrong with that. But the IRS came and said, we don't make mistakes. You're the one who owes the taxes, and he took every bit. Now, he got it back eventually, but it took him 12 years. You see, anything can be taken. And then I don't know how many people I know and you know that they forgot to turn the stove off. Or they forgot to put brake fluid in the car. Or they forgot the most menial things, but one thing adds on top of another. It's called the law of descending events, where just one thing breaks down and one thing breaks down and it just keeps going in a spiral until disaster strikes. I know they have it in the airline industry where you read about these big jumbo jets that have all kind of redundant systems, but one thing will go wrong, one switch will go wrong, and it will cause a cascading event that will cause a crash. Brothers and sisters, that's just life. That's just life. There's nothing evil in this. This is just things that happen to us. But God protects us not only from the evil, He protects us from that. How many times have you been delayed going to a trip, and then when you get almost to where you go and you see a car crash or something that if you'd been on time, you might have been in? How many times have you known a neighbor who had a very communicable disease and you did not catch it? How many times have you prayed for something specific and God has delivered that in His time for that moment? Oh yes, God protects us. He is my refuge and my fortress. In Him will I trust. And He is worthy. He is worthy of our trust and our full faith. There is no other in heaven or anywhere else who can or will offer this foundational assurance in the truth. You see, all the things that God says is true. What man says is a lie. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk more about what I'm about to say tonight when we're in Leviticus. But man, and I'm saying this because mankind wants you to believe a lie. Christine and I were going out yesterday and we were going to buy some soy sauce. And we went to a market there downtown and we drove up right in the middle of the Pride Parade with the flags and the people and everything. And I'll talk more about that tonight because it really hurt my spirit. I mean, it was, and what hurt my spirit more than anything was I saw parents with their little 3 and 4 year old kids with their little rainbow flags and drag queens walking amongst them. Brothers and sisters, when you believe a lie, that's what you end up with. Not maybe specifically that sin, but in a world governed by lies. Only the truth of God is eternal. And part of that eternal truth is if you reject God and believe a lie, you're going to spend eternity apart from Him in the lake of fire. That's not the preacher. That's the Word of God that says that. Like I said, I'll talk about that more like. But even in that situation, I knew that God was with us because He is our rock, our deliverer, our strength, our shield. In Him will we trust. Not man, not society, not law, man's law, but in God. His Word and His Christ. Now I want to move on to verse 4. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Now we understand when we read in Ephesians the armor of God that the shield is the shield of faith. But what is the belt? Truth. The belt of truth. That's what a buckler is. Now, y'all all seen the pirate movies, right? Don't worry, I'm not going to go arr and start walking, okay? But they always have this big leather strap around their shoulder, and it's got this gigantic buckle on it. Well, that is a buckler, and that holds on your scabbard and where you put your pistols and all that stuff. And they had the days of the knights, they had them. In the days, in the 16 and 1700s, back during the colonial days, they had all these things, and they were called bucklers. Well, God, and they held everything together. God's truth holds everything together. He is our, it is our shield, and it is our buckler. God's truth. And when there's no truth there, it's just like walking around with no belt on. I've tried it. You eventually trip when your feet get caught up in your britches because your belt have no belt and they fell down and you trip and you fall face forward because there's no truth there spiritually. But God's truth buckles all that God has for us and keeps it where we need it. And like a mother hen, God wants to gather us under His wings and protect us from all harm, including that which we do to ourselves. We take solace in this fact. You remember when Jesus was looking over Jerusalem? He said something like this. He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have wanted to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks." And all of us who have been raised around chickens, we kind of understand this. You know, right after they come out, the old mama hen will get in the nest and she will put her wings over the baby chicks. She'll sit on the eggs, but she'll put her wings over the chicks to protect them as they're trying to come out of their shells and trying to raise. That's what God wants for us. He wants to protect us, and He wants us to grow, and He wants us to have the truth of what there is. That truth, that buckle, that shield that holds us together. That's what He wants us to have, brothers and sisters. And it's available in His Word. You don't have to believe me. Read the Word for yourself. Pray that the Holy Spirit will give you illumination and you will see the truth that He gives you. But yet sometimes, even when we know the truth, we're still afraid. Let's look at 5 and 6. Psalm 91, 5 and 6 says this, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday." There's four things that the psalmist says God protects us from. The terror by night. Folks, how often have you been laying in bed at night and suddenly some sort of anxiety or fear or trepidation or something will come upon you and it will seize you. And it will shake you to the core. "Oh God, I'm doomed. What's going to happen? I'm going to do it." That's the kind of stuff the devil throws at you. Now, when I was young, I would have all kind of nightmares. And my daughter and I were talking about this the other day. Sometimes you can remember the nightmares you had as a child better than you can remember what you had for lunch 2 days ago. And one of the things that I was afraid of, and I've told some of you this, and please don't laugh at me, but I used to watch this show called Land of the Lost. Marshall, Will, and Holly. Amen, brother. There you go. And they had Grumpy was the name of the Tyrannosaurus. And of course, he's nothing on Jurassic Park or nothing because this was just an old dumb puppet thing. But when he would turn, he would open his mouth and he would come at the camera. And that scared me to death. And to this very day, on occasion, I will dream of some stupid dinosaur chasing me through the woods. Usually when I have a worry or an anxiety. And how silly we think that is. But yet, there are other things that seize me during the night. Worries about finances. Worries about health. And folks, worry about the flock. There are things that come to me at night that the devil uses. Because when you're at night, you are weak spiritually. Because you're in that la-la land, half between sleep and half awake, and you're dog tired, and you're praying and everything, and sometimes God seems far away. However, that's not accurate. The devil wants you to believe that. The devil wants you to think that God is far from you because he's trying to separate you from God. That, I believe, is the terror by night. How often have I been suddenly afraid? But how often, when I go to God, now if I ignore God and I don't say anything and I don't pray, then I'm going to have all those nightmares and ain't nothing to do it. But if I ask God to deliver me, not only from the fear, but from the temptation that may come, the temptation to act on my own outside of the will of God, the temptation to become angry and bitter and all that kind of stuff, if I give it over to God, He takes it away. Now the problems are still there, but I know that God is with me. And I can tackle those problems with God in a way so much greater than if I try by myself. So I will not be afraid of the terror by night. But then it goes on to number two, the arrow that flies by day. Think about all the enemies that the evil one aligns against the children of God. Yet we are not to be afraid. It says in the Psalm, you know, 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 by your right hand, but it's not going to come unto you. I know a lot of soldiers that have quoted that verse. Some of them made it out and some of them didn't. But they pray that and we pray that. The enemies of God. That's why we're going to talk about God's protection today. That's why we're going to talk about it tonight. You see, as we go into this season of revival, as we get ready to go and invite people and talk to people and love people and share the good news with people, the enemy's going to throw everything, including the kitchen sink, at us. He's going to throw financial trouble at us. He's going to throw health problems at us. He's going to throw lies about things we did in the past. Brothers and sisters, you don't worry about what you did in the past. If you are in Christ, you are forgiven and it's done with. That's not license to go out and do what you want. But it's the assurance of the Holy Spirit being in you that you are a forgiven child of God and the devil can't do a cotton-picking thing about it. Even though he's going to try. And that's the arrow. His people will try to destroy the people of God. But you know what? Like I've said before, if he could have, he already would have. But he hasn't. So he ain't. I know that's bad English, but that's the way we say it down there. He ain't gonna touch us. Not one on our head. Now we come to number three, the pestilence that walks in darkness. Brothers and sisters, pestilence is disease and sickness. We understand that there are all kinds of things that bother us. You know, what's the biggest thing now? Monkeypox? You know, there was a woman that came to me the other day and thought she had the monkeypox. And I said, "Ma'am, I don't think you have monkeypox." But then I saw her face and now I'm a believer. Some of you may get that. That's okay. Some of you may get that. Get it, monkeys? Okay, never mind. That's showing my age, brothers and sisters. That's showing my age. Okay, that was a joke. It wasn't real. But we are not to be afraid of those things. You know, when Charles Spurgeon was doing his pastorate in London, they had a disease called typhus. Typhoid fever is what we call it. It was spread by contaminated well water, and many of the folks in London got their water from the same source. I mean, he got so bad that they kept Queen Victoria locked up in Buckingham Palace because they were afraid it might be something they call a miasma, which is like a vapor that comes up and contains illness and sickness. They later learned it was coming from the water. However, people kept saying to him, "Brother Spurgeon, you need to stay in the church. You don't need to go out and visit. You could catch this," because it was very communicable. "You can catch this fever." And he was like, "No." I said, "God's going to call me when he will. My job is to be a shepherd and to visit those that need me." And he did, and he never caught it. Now, he died in 1891 of a heart condition, but he did not die of typhus. The thing is, brothers and sisters, these dreaded diseases which come out of nowhere are not to be feared. Now, please take proper precautions. I'm not saying don't. Okay? But what I'm telling you is these diseases will come and go. Man is even inventing new ones all the time that could kill billions of people if let loose upon the world. Brothers, there's stuff out there, chemical weapons and biological weapons, that would scare the hair right off your toes. It really would. But we are not to be paralyzed by fear of these things. We must keep living in the courage given to us by God. As we said, take precautions, proper precautions. You need to do that, if called. But we are not to let it paralyze us. We're not to let it control us. Because people will do that to use fear to keep people in line. But, brothers, if you know someone with the flu, talk to them from the porch. Don't go in the house. Use common sense. And the fourth one, the destruction that wastes all around us. War and famine, disease and apathy all lead towards destruction of this world's material things. Yet the people of God will live on in eternity and in the physical plane once Christ returns. Fear not, children of God. Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Thou shalt not be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not! How much plainer can God's Word get? When He is our God, regardless of what happens to us, read the last part of Romans chapter 8, and I'll get to that in just a second. But it tells us that we're like sheep led to the slaughter. But we are more than conquerors through Christ who died for us. We must never, ever Forget that. Now moving on, verse 11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Yes, God's angels watch over his people. They are ministering spirits. They are real. And they help us in ways that we do not know. That's part of God's protection, that he allows his angels to be in charge. And brothers and sisters, I do not know if I've ever met an angel. I don't know. But you know what? I may have. God says to be kind to everybody, to be hospitable to everybody, because sometimes we may have entertained angels unaware. We know that angels are real. We see them through the Bible, and we see they are incredibly powerful. And brothers and sisters, I'm sorry to burst some of your bubbles, but we are not going to be angels when we go to heaven. People say, oh, my grandma died and she's an angel in heaven. Brothers and sisters, if your grandma was in Christ, she is a ruler in heaven who will reign with Christ for 1,000 years and judge angels. Now understand, in the grief process, especially when we have children and things, you know, we see my little angel and stuff, and I understand that. I do understand that. But brothers and sisters, we are not to become angels when we are in Christ, whether we're young or old. We will be glorified servants of the Most High, ruling and reigning with Him for eternity. But in the meantime, He sends His angels over to protect us. When Christ was in the garden, after the greatest temptation. Now, we do not see the name of the devil there. But I can almost guarantee you he was prowling about trying to convince Jesus not to go through with it. But what did Jesus pray? Father, if this cup can pass from me, please let it. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. I'm paraphrasing there. And what happened after that point? It's the same thing that happened in the wilderness after his temptation there. Angels came and ministered unto him. You see, there are times when God sends people into your life. They come out of nowhere. They help you. They love you. They share with you. And they may be real people. But then again, they may be an angelic spirit. I got accused of being an angel once. Didn't stick. When I was on an ambulance, there was an elderly lady that had a flat tire on the side of the road. Me and my partner, we stopped and we changed that lady's tire for her. And I remember this little sweet, bet you she was 85 years old if she was a day, little African-American lady, and she said, "You two boys are angels, thank you." And we were like, "Yes, ma'am." She tried to give us a 20, but you can't take a tip on an ambulance. That's just not done, okay? But it made us feel like we had done something good. And never saw the lady again. She went down the road. She could have been an angel to us, providing an opportunity to do something good for somebody. Brothers and sisters, He sends His angels, ministering spirits for our good. And one of these days I'm going to preach a whole sermon on angels, but we're just touching on it now. But think about that for a second. Did not God send Gabriel to Daniel once the prophet prayed? Yes, He did. Did not God send the same angel to Zacharias and Mary to announce good tidings of great joy? Is not Michael the archangel ready to wage war against the devil and his cohorts? Did not angels come into the wilderness and minister to the Lord Jesus, as we mentioned? Yes. He shall give His angels charge over thee. Now the devil actually used this too when he tempted Jesus to jump off the pinnacle of the temple. But Jesus quoted Scripture as what we should do when we are faced with similar situations. Now let me read the last two verses, 13 and 14. This is God speaking. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. We know the name of God. We trust the name of God. We glorify the name of God. We worship the name of God. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Savior to the glory of God the Father. Those who belong to God will be able to overcome the fiercest opposition through prayer and faith. Me and Brother Mel were talking this morning, and you know all the bad things that's been happening, and these people have been on TV, and they say, why in the world? We don't want to hear no more praying. Ain't praying don't do any good. Brothers and sisters, praying does more good than you will ever imagine. But it's behind the scenes in the spiritual realm. It does manifest itself in the physical realm. When we pray for a healing and we pray for a miracle, and it happens. But you see, we have to trust God enough that when it doesn't happen the way we want it, we still trust God's will to be done for His children. You see, the enemy will occasionally cause harm, but he is a wounded enemy who's soon to be cast into the lake of fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels. It was prepared specifically for him and the rebellious angels. Brothers and sisters, though, when I see the opposition that the devil has, when I see those parents with their little 2- and 3- and 4-year-old children in chain and a thing like they had yesterday, and they got their little unicorns and their little rainbow flags, and those parents do not understand that if anyone causes a little one to sin, that it is better for him to have a millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the deepest ocean. That's better for him than what God has in store. Brothers and sisters, that's the truth. It's not being unkind. It's not being judgmental. It is telling the truth. And the truth is what we need. The people of God will tread upon their foes in righteous victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. That will happen. Why? Because His sheep know His voice. That's John 10, 1 through 5 and 11 through 15. We know His name because He is our shepherd and no one else. A shepherd protects. We are talking about God's protection. We know His voice. We hear the Word of God. We hear the Holy Spirit. We know that it is of Christ when it agrees with the Word of God. And we are to stick to it regardless of what the world says. Because the world is a liar. Because something is legal or popular does not make it moral or right. And there were some of the most good, and I use that in air quotes, people now that go along with society. And I guarantee you, if they had been 70 years ago, they would be standing at Auschwitz at the gas chamber ready to push the button because that's what was good in the eyes of their society. Even now, at abortion clinics, there are people who claim to know God who stand there and approve of the murder of unborn children. And if you would talk to them, some of them would approve of murder of already born children. There are people now that are pushing to have the age of consent lowered to 10 years old. And the church as a whole sits back. Well, we need to be nice. We need to be winsome. We need to share the gospel in love and truth. Sharing the truth is love. When I tell my youngin', do not put your hand in that fire ant bed, as we talked about earlier, that's to prevent her from being scarred and wounded and hurt. And what are we trying to do to prevent people from going to an eternity in hell by telling them the truth, but they reject it? And that's what broke my heart. Because God loves them people as much as He loves me or you. He does love them. And He tells them the truth through His servants and through His Word. But they reject it. And then they go on the attack. And that's why we need to be protected. Because the world says, I don't have to listen to God. Now there is a verse in the Bible that says we should not call someone a fool or else we will be in danger of hell fire. But I'm going to tell you, the Bible also says that he who says there is no God is a fool. And fools get what they deserve. We don't get what we deserve because of the grace and mercy of God. He forgives us. We're guilty of the same sins, yes, but we know the truth, and the truth has freed us so that we can worship and be what God wants us to be. But the world says no. Does that mean we need to go live in a monastery on a mountain somewhere? No. We're to be in the world and to be the salt and the light of the world and to speak the truth when God gives us the opportunity. And that's what we're going to do in this church for this coming revival season. And after the revival season, and from now on out, we need to be unafraid to share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Both sides of the coin. God's love, His mercy and forgiveness, but also His justice and His righteousness. And if we don't, we are guilty of the same sin as those people who call themselves Christian yet reject God and do what they want in their heart. Let that not be named among us. Why? Because we will tread upon our foes. Because we know the voice of the shepherd. Those that love God will be delivered from not only eternal judgment, but also from the fear of being alone, the fear of having no one to deliver, and the fear of the unknown. We will be set on high with God at the throne through Christ. Read Revelation, some of the end of those letters. There's always a couple little verses at the end of the letters in the first three chapters. And one of them is, "To him who overcomes, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne." But we have to overcome. But how do we overcome? Through the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. We overcome in Christ. No, we are not to be arrogant. We are not to be foolish in that way. We're not to be, "I'm better than you." No, we're to be, "I was like you. In fact, in some ways, I'm still like you, but I have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. And He can offer you this forgiveness and you can be reconciled with God." And once they know the truth, they must choose to repent and believe or to reject God Almighty. And if they persist in their rejection and they die in their rejection, there is no hope for them. But for those that are in Christ Jesus, there is an eternity of love and joy and peace waiting for us. Brothers and sisters, as we enter this preparation season for our revival, let us not be afraid of what the devil's going to try to do. Expect it. Expect it. He's a liar and a deceiver. And those that work for him, whether they admit it or not, are liars and deceivers. He is also a slanderer and destroyer. You know, the other night when we were talking about Molech and stuff like that, I did not even want to give a picture of that to the class at night because I don't want to even to give acknowledgement to those evil things. But we must, because part of the truth is knowing what's right and what's wrong. Trust the Holy One of Israel. Trust Him whom the psalmist said was His strength. Trust in the saving blood of Christ. Believe the truth of the gospel and the word. I'm going to ask you a very point-blank question. Has God ever failed you? Now, you may have ended up in a situation of your own doing that God really didn't have nothing to do with other than to pick up the pieces when you were over. But when you really trusted in God and put everything in His hand, has He failed you? He may not have done what you expected, but has He failed? He may not have given you, but I am. He is God Almighty. He ran a choice to believe or not to believe. And the reason that we're in the narrow path leads to salvation. The broad way leads to destruction. Because they have made their choice. Now as long as they're alive, as long as they're on their deathbed and they've lived an evil life, but they accepted Christ on their deathbed. Now I do believe that stuck. You need to believe as soon as you can. But whether you believe when you're 10 at Bible school or where you believe when you're 100, confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, I shall be saved. You shall be saved. And anyone who repents and believes shall be saved. So instead of a message of fear, God gives us a message of hope. It only becomes fear when you reject it. And I'm going to tell you, after 17 years of seeing a lot of people die, I have seen the fear, and some of y'all know this feeling. I have seen the fear in their eyes when they go into everlasting eternity without God. But those that know God, that I've seen fall asleep in Jesus, I've seen peace. And a couple of them, I've seen joy. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine God's protection is over you, that even in the very last seconds, the last breaths, the last heartbeats of your life, He receives you to Himself? You know, that makes me sometimes wonder. You know, I believe everything that the Bible tells me, so that makes me want to be with God even more. And like Paul, sometimes I wonder, is it better to go ahead and go with Him now? Or to stay and do what He has me to do? Well, you know what? The answer I've come up with is God's going to do in His time and what He's going to do. As long as I'm breathing, I got the opportunity to do what He wants me to do. And that's what He wills for my life. So by George, I'm going to do it. To the best of my ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as I told one person one time, when I was on my ordination council, he asked me, and if I remember this correct, he asked me, if I go through my entire ministry and I'm not successful in the eyes of man and not a lot of people respond, and I asked him, and I really felt this, did one come to Christ because of what God used me for? And if one person comes to Christ through the preaching of His Word, through the kindness shown, through a potato casserole, whatever it may be, one, then we have accomplished more than many others. And for God and for the kingdom. God has never failed you. We do not be afraid of the Lord, because the Lord God Almighty reigns. He will protect you and me in this season and in every season. We must faithfully trust His ways and His will, whatever it is. And when the temptations of this life begins to overwhelm us, we must turn to Him and be obedient even unto death. Why? We're to be imitators of Christ, right? And the Bible tells us that He was obedient even unto death, even death on a cross. We don't have no idea in these modern days what pain and what torture a cross did to a person. Somebody told me once that the only thing we could even imagine has to tie somebody to a stake and stick a flamethrower to them. Now that is not a pleasant picture, but that's the kind of pain, the excruciating pain they were talking about. And it didn't last for just a couple of minutes. It lasted sometimes for days. When the temptations of this life begin to overwhelm us, we must turn to Him and be obedient, even unto death. He who overcomes will be granted many blessings, including to sit and reign with Christ. That's Revelation 3:21, if you want to look it up. So how do we overcome? We're to fear not, and to keep the faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that He protects us. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our mighty fortress. And nothing, absolutely nothing in heaven or hell or what that's ever been created, height, depth, anything, nothing can take you out of His hand. And you know, if it, one of the says created things, that means you yourself can't take yourself out of His hands. Now, if you never really believed, that's a different story. But if you really believed, you are secure in your faith. This is God's true and holy protection, to be in Christ. Amen and amen. Brothers and sisters, we must never take His protection for granted. We must live in that protection, in that holy assurance through the Holy Spirit that we are the children of God. And the world and the flesh and the devil will never overcome the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise Team. I just want to give opportunity again. If you know Christ, go to Him and thank Him. If you don't know Christ, come to Him in repentance and faith. The Bible says, repent and believe. You have to believe. Now, I know there's a big thing nowadays saying, you know, we shouldn't say a prayer, accept Jesus in your heart. It's nowhere in the Bible. It just says repent and believe. That's true. But you know, when you pray to Jesus, you're acknowledging to Him that you do believe. When you say the sinner's prayer, you are acknowledging to Him that you are a sinner and that you believe that there is repentance and faith in your belief of Him. And it is through Him only that you can be made right with God. This is one of the tragic things that people misunderstand. You can be the most moral person in the world. There are religions full of people who stick to a strict code of morality. And outside of the church, they're some of the nicest people you want to be with. But I'm going to tell you what, if they reject Christ, how nice are they? They're self-centered. They're saying, I know the best way, and it's not involving God. Okay. God has put in the heart of every man and woman to know the difference between good and evil. And if you know to do good and refuse to do it, that is what you will be judged on. Your rejection or acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Brothers and sisters, even if you're saved, some of us have left the world. Just take us away. You know, sometimes on Sunday mornings, I go down to the gas station to fill up before we go home in the evenings. And I will see people that God love. I don't need God. I used to go to church. I used to do all that stuff, but now I like being free on Sunday mornings. I like to do what I want to do. You know, if I was God, which I'm not, nor do I want to be, I would show those statements at Judgment Day to the person. When they stand before the throne of God, the great white throne, real Christians won't be at the great white throne except as observers. And their name is not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they come up to Jesus and, you know, the sheep and the goats, and He's already got rid of the sheep, not got rid, maybe in the joy of the master, but then the goats, and they say, Lord, didn't we do? And I hope, or I think that kind of statement, I don't need God, should be replayed. That doesn't sound very loving, Brother Charles. You know, by that point, love for things on earth is pretty much passed away. Now you're in eternity. Now you must face the consequences of the choices that you have made on earth. And brothers and sisters, I implore you, we cannot share the gospel with others unless we possess strongly the knowledge of the truth of the gospel in ourselves first. But this is done not of our own self, because that would be works. It is done through the Holy Spirit given to us when we believe. Do not let the opportunity pass to not only be built up in Christ, but to understand that you are protected by the Holy One of Israel, the one who had knocked down the walls of Jericho, the one who brought victory after victory to David, the one who built the temples, the one that judged His people when they turned from Him, but brought them back because He loved them, and He loves us, and He wants to bring us back to a saving and fruitful knowledge of Him. We must accept God's not only protection, but His salvation before we can go to others. So if there's any doubt in your mind, I ask that you come and pray with me. I can't save you. You can't save each other. But we can love each other and point each other to the one who can and will if you come to Him.